It's been a while since I was in studio. I actually had a music intro.
Nice.
Yeah, it adds something, like an ounce, a stitch of production value. I don't know, instead of me just throwing on the mic and going like, hello.
Somebody gets their music on.
Yeah, my brother.
More of your brothers. How's his band doing?
Oh, that band is dead now.
Oh.
As are his music dreams entirely. It's actually the saddest thing I've ever heard. Like, when we were kids, he was the one that was like motivated about it. I didn't even have dreams. Like, if you, well, so okay, I win the sad wars, but
right.
He had a goal where he was like, I am going to be an artist. Like, he went to college in L.A. one year before my dad passed and was, like, there trying to make it happen in a band. And then he was in bands for much of his early to mid-20s performing live at venues in the area.
That's nice. Good for him.
Pretty good, yeah. I mean, he was doing something, and I was like, that's cool. He was on stage, like, I always liked comedy, but it didn't click in my stupid head. I know you're like, hey, John, you're a smart guy. I'm really dumb in a lot of ways. Like, I guess it had to come from somewhere. You know, it's like a zero-sum game. And so it wasn't until I was like in my late 20s, I was like, I should perform comedy live.
So what does he do now?
He's a guitar teacher, and he makes like...
Nice.
Yeah, he makes good money doing it, and he's his own boss and all that. But, like, it's America, so he pays Christ knows what for his insurance. Right. And, you know, just he gets nickel and dimed here and there, paying whatever in taxes. And, yeah, I don't know, man. So he is his own boss.
Does he only teach, like, electric guitar? Does he do acoustic?
No, he does anything. Like, he's really got a knack for instruments, which, again, something that skipped me in the family. I did drums for a while.
Got to have rhythm to do that.
The short bus of the instrument world, yeah. I do have rhythm because of it. That's nice.
That's good.
There is in every band class a really like painful 4 months where they're teaching the white kids rhythm, like on the drums, and it's just like, no, drum with the music, you dumb bastard. And then like I guess that scene from The Jerk where you know, he finally starts dancing along to whatever, he's Steve Martin's tapping his toes or some crap, that will kick in at some point. You're like, oh, my foot works in syncopation with my wrist. It's a weird thing, but it happens. Yeah,
I did I played saxophone for 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do anything with it now?
No. And it's actually, I thought about the other day, it's funny that you brought up that your brother teaches guitar, because I actually was thinking the other day, I was like, I need to go back and like learn piano or learn guitar or something along those lines, because a saxophone isn't something that you can just be like, sit down and I'm going to play the saxophone for somebody. But if you know how to play piano, like you're in a lobby of a hotel, might be a piano there or something, and then you just go sit down and tickle the ivories and entertain people.
You can put on the shades and pretend you're blinded.
I mean, a buddy of mine, I still remember to this day, one of the most fun times that I've had. We were in college, and we were going to the college basketball tournament, like the conference tournament, whatever, staying at a hotel down in Richmond, and there was a piano, for whatever reason, in the lobby. I don't remember why, or it was off, like, the little bar section, and he could play piano, so he sat down, and for, like, an hour, just, like, would play...
It's a great instrument.
Would play different tunes and, like, make up lyrics about people in the bar or whatever, and, I mean... It was a blast. And I still look back, I'm like, that was so much fun. And it's all just because he could sit down and play little things here and there and go. I've always loved, like, I know they're lame and they're dumb and people are going to hate me for this. I love those dueling piano bar places.
I don't even know what you're talking about. A dueling piano bar.
You've never been down, like, to the fish market?
No.
And gone, okay, there's one over in... what do they call it now? Not Inner Harbor, whatever it is across over in Maryland where MGM is now.
Oh, National Harbor. Yeah.
National Harbor. There's that Bobby McKee's.
Okay.
Dueling piano bar place.
I hate the punny name already. Continue.
Well, understandable. Well, the fish market is where I first got introduced to this when I was in...
Fish market and piano, yeah.
Call it college.
Peanut butter and jelly.
We'll make it sound like it was legal, so we'll just say I was in college at the time. And you would go down to the fish market, you go upstairs. And they had a guy, this wasn't a dueling piano bar, but they had a guy that would play piano. And you could go up and put, like...
Was it like an old fisherman doing sea chanties and stuff?
No, I mean, it was an older guy. He was great. I don't know, I'm sure he's, God rest his soul, probably by now. Because, well, again, you're going back, this is...
He got that ivory cancer,
25, 30 years ago, and he was pretty old then. I mean, he was probably in his mid to late 50s. Mm-hmm. So if he's still around, good for him. That's a hell of a run. But you would go and you could, like, put a tip in his jar and write, and he'd pull it out and be like, oh, you want to hear this?
Billy Joel then. That's
kind of, sure. Okay. And you would, he'd just play and everybody would sing along, and it was so much fun to go with a big group and get drunk and sing to the piano.
That sounds just so, like, wholesome and organic.
It sounds horrific. I know. Everybody there's like, this is the dumbest thing you ever did. No, we would go and they'd have the big schooners of beer. Big giant things
of beer. That's living life. That's beautiful. Like, you don't understand. Like, life today is just like finding something on Netflix to watch, and then when you're too numb, you find some porn, and then you go back to the Netflix. That's it.
Yeah, no.
And then you order food.
We would go down to the piano bar all the time. We'd have a blast because you just didn't have Netflix or anything else. So I like that stuff. So I always think back of, like, some of the most fun times that I've had, like, out with friends or anything, involve just having somebody play piano and you sing along to it, or like my buddy did down in Richmond, just make up dumb lyrics about people in the bar.
No, that is like, you could have ended that story with, like, one day we accidentally ran over an old man while drunk and we swore to take it to our graves. And that would still be so much more organic and wholesome than just me. Like, I play my Nintendo Switch, then I found Reddit porn.
Yeah, I mean, I know over, like, the fish market was fine because I don't, going back, again, 25-some years, I don't remember there being a cover charge to go upstairs. I think you had to, you know, you couldn't just sit there and hang out. You had to either
be
drinking.
Like a strip club, yeah. Right. You
had to either have be drinking at the table or order food or whatever. They weren't just going to let you sit there and listen to the piano. But I know over at Bobby McKee's, it's like $30 just to get in. So that's
because there's nothing real about Bobby McKee's.
Well, right. And I haven't been there yet, and they call it a dueling piano bar, so I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to go there and be so angry.
Don't do it. Don't support that.
That it's going to ruin my memories of
would you go to a hospital called Johnny McCurry's? No. I think Bobby McKee's. That's so on the nose.
I know.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
So I should probably, my point being, I should probably call your brother and have him teach me how to play guitar.
Oh, please do.
Because I need something in my life. And the saxophone just isn't going to happen. I don't have it anymore. It was actually easy to learn.
Okay.
Because you played recorder in elementary school, right? Because everybody played the recorder
so
in elementary school.
You just sat around playing hot cross buns all day on your saxophone.
Well, the thing is, and keep it clean, the fingerings were the same for the saxophone for the most part as they were for the recorder.
Okay.
So it translated pretty easily.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, this is A, this is B, this is C. I mean, that
I know
was,
there's a reed.
There is a reed. There's not for the recorder.
And the reed
at least
break.
Yes. Or split.
And if you screwed up, you'd be like, the reed was off!
It would split, yes. And you had to have it at a certain level. Okay. You used to have to, it would go on the neck of the saxophone. Mm-hmm. You'd have to put wax so it would slide and keep the cork, because it would slide over the cork part. If you didn't wax the cork, it would dry out and crumble.
Good
and then
Lord.
You'd have to get it
How
replaced.
How do they expect a kid? I wouldn't trust a kid to administer the insulin to keep him alive.
I know.
And you're like, wax a sax cork.
You have to wax the cork on the neck of the saxophone. And yeah.
There's a man out there making a tidy living re-corking the saxes
I'm
of
sure
children.
There are.
Mark
yeah.
my words
I'm
on that
sure
one.
There are. But yeah, I played for 4 years. Then I got to high school and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this.
I feel you're on the tail edge of saxophone still being a thing, like as a almost retro-ish, but still acceptable in a modern band, at least in a movie context. Like, I'm thinking you had...
Well, you got to remember, this would have been... I stopped playing, it would have been 1985.
Okay.
So think about, you had...
St. Elmo's Fire with Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Just ripping it on the sax.
But you also had, again, I'll freely admit, I was a loser. I was a top 40 geek.
Sure.
Growing up, you had Huey Lewis in the Tower of Power.
Okay.
That's... all horns. And
is that,
that
a
was,
sex position? Or a,
no, okay. It was a group. Nah. And it was all trumpet, saxophone. It was everything. Yeah. And that was, I mean, I can remember going to see them in concert.
You
and
could have
like,
been a Delaware destroyer supporting George Thorogood.
And you have to remember Wham. The
yeah.
big thing that everybody had to try to learn when you were in seventh and eighth grade was Careless Whisper, that sax solo from that. So, yeah, there was a ton of that.
You could have been the oiled up muscle man from Lost Boys.
Yeah,
that's true. That could have been a career path.
That would have been good. But I mean, I got to high school and then I was like, okay, I'd like to play in like the jazz little,
yeah,
you know, more fun type band. No, if you do that, you have to be a marching band. Nope, I'm out.
Why?
Not
okay,
doing it.
Wait, why the line drawn for like marching over jazz? Were you just very sedentary or?
No, I just didn't want to go out on the asphalt in August when it was 95 degrees yeah. and learn how to march. I had no zero interest in putting on the band uniform and marching at halftime of a football game. That's not what I was going
I
to
mean,
do.
I mean, it sounds stupid.
It was
but
awful.
That's the kind of stuff that got people laid back then. Like
I didn't need
years.
Any help with that.
Good for you.
I mean, I wasn't in high school anyway.
Okay.
But I did not lack.
You're a dropout playing piano at the Fish
Well,
market.
Right. Yeah. I didn't lack for female attention.
That's awesome.
I wasn't having sex because I was too scared that, again, it's the 80s. We didn't have all this information out there at our fingertips.
Yeah.
I was scared to death of pregnancies and everything else. I was like, oh. I don't need to.
I thought you were going to say you're afraid of AIDS. Like, I wasn't.
No, that was more, I mean, we got to college, and then, yeah, you were, because that was about the time, obviously, you're being much more open and, I'm not going to say aggressive in, yeah. in chasing down women, but I guess that's a
caveman
good way to put
style,
it.
Just splitting
just
their skulls.
Yeah, grab them by their hair and drag them back to the cave, whatever yeah. whatever it took. But you were obviously much more active than you would have been like in high school.
Yes.
You know, as
Unless
far
you
as,
were like the cool high school kid.
Well, I just mean as far as the perhaps number of partners that you yeah. may have in, say, a six-month time period.
Even I finally got laid in college.
Right.
And I was barely trying.
So that's why, I had girlfriends in high school. That wasn't necessarily the issue, but mm-hmm. I just wasn't having sex. I didn't need to worry about going to band camp to
get some.
Right.
Was there any like really
to
quality tale
boobs.
in that the marching band? Because I feel like if you were in marching band at my high school, Chantilly, go Chargers, I don't remember any top shelf. In
yeah,
there.
I mean,
but there was a lot of Bowmans to drink from. If you catch my drift,
you're asking me to go back. My 30 year high school anniversary is this year.
I have my 20 this year.
So yeah, you're asking me to go back quite a bit. I don't remember who all was in the band at the time. So I would hate to say no, there wasn't anybody, and then. Not that anybody's ever going to come back and ask me about this or say, that's
sure.
not true. So-and-so was in it. So I'll say, sure, there might have been.
Becky Tom and her
yeah,
D-cups.
Yeah, who knows? I don't remember.
Bouncing around to Let's Go Band.
I don't remember. I was much more into the athletes.
Okay.
I'm thinking
Specify
now.
Specify female athletes,
well,
Bill,
yes, of
we've
course.
Got a whole line of inquiry.
Yes, of okay. course. I'm thinking quickly now in my memory as best I can. I think every girl that I dated in high school played some sort of sport, whether
Look
it was
you.
Field hockey. Definitely dated a couple different field hockey chicks.
Every girl that I fooled around with in high school played the game of self-cutting and seeing if they could hide their wounds on their inner thighs.
Too. Although I did do theater as well,
yeah.
so I did.
You talked about that.
We didn't really date. But I did have a on again, off again thing, but she wasn't an athlete. So I don't think that counts.
I'm trying to think of the tropes of like the girls that you had in high school. Like the theater girls were kind of, I would say
needy.
Yeah.
Needy.
Always.
Needy.
I mean, there's a reason.
No question.
If
needy.
You've ever wondered how like a dog faced director is pounding out, like Emmy Rossum, for example, is married to a director.
Mm-hmm.
The girls that I find that gravitate towards theater early on, just a black
needy.
Hole of emptiness
yep.
inside. Yeah.
Yep.
And if you're just the one in the position being like, no, you go here and do that. They're like, what else do I do? And you're a guy, so you
right.
can, you know, fill in that blank.
Yep.
You
yep.
shove your dick in their mouth.
Well,
there you go.
Didn't have that necessarily going on, but.
That was answer B on the SAT. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, they were needy.
Yeah, Definitely. They were the needy ones. Yeah. I felt the girls who were just like inherently hot did field hockey, but like didn't really do like I couldn't picture them actually caring about a sport because I'm a sexist, if nothing else.
Right.
I figured right. they were like, yeah, we're just going to handle this long wooden phallic stuff in front of you and like miniskirts and you can pound off thinking about
it. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Even in high school, I never put that
together.
Yeah,
you can picture
again.
Us experimenting with our field hockey sticks pick the splinters out later with your teeth.
The funny thing is, because a buddy of mine in college, one of my very good friends actually worked with me at the college radio station, of course, knew, because we, like anybody who's friends, you talk about the people that you dated in high school and blah, blah, blah. So he knew that my background, I dated a girl for a year and a half that was a field hockey player.
Okay.
And when this probably predates, what year were you born?
81.
81. So you would have been 12-ish, 13-ish, somewhere in there. So you
And you didn't let me watch.
This is probably,
we were cool, dude.
This is predating probably your Playboy. I imagine
you
weren't
watching. I was whacking off at 10, dude. I was a freak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So do you remember when,
Jenny McCarthy.
Yes. Thank you. How did
you
know that?
Knew where you were going. I knew her pictorial.
Yeah, because she was wearing what?
She was in her little...
The field hockey skirt.
Yep.
So that's the one and only...
I like how you thought I wasn't looking at porn at
13. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you guys were doing then. So that's my...
I was killing my soul.
The one and only Playboy that I own is that one. Because my buddy went out and bought it and left it on my desk at the college radio station, which, you know, you figure college, who cares? Except we had our... professor, who was the academic advisor for it, was a woman, and she was very much not going to find that acceptable. So there's the Playboy,
just sitting.
Jenny McCarthy sitting. Jerry Seinfeld is on the cover. It's the Jerry Seinfeld interview. So we played it off of that, of just like, oh yeah, you know, whatever. I didn't watch Seinfeld. I didn't freaking care. But then the Jenny McCarthy pictorial is inside, and then when she was named Playmate of the Year. Mm-hmm. We actually, again, my buddy being a very good friend.
You feel like you backed a winner. Like, I missed those days. Yeah. I had the Stacey Sanchez one like a year or two later, and she got the PMOI. And I was like, that's my girl.
Yes, I have no idea who that is.
But
he actually lined up this interview with Jenny McCarthy. We were going to do a phone interview with her for being Playmate of the Year. Mm-hmm. And they were doing their college tour and everything else. And I forget exactly how it worked. But as they were doing, Playboy's whole thing was, she's going to do this media tour, and then we're going to decide how the media tour went, which colleges we're
going
to bring Jenny around to.
Was she
singled out
at this point?
She was not yet. Okay. She was about a year away from it, I believe.
People do not understand how huge she was.
She was monstrously huge when she got Playmate of the Year. I mean, it was... ginormous.
See, I don't remember the Playmate a Year thing being a huge thing. I remember when Singled Out came out.
She blew up right after.
Yeah, you were just like, wow, that girl who was like singled out by Playboy not once but twice is very attractive.
Yeah.
And then like because she was clothed,
right.
You tried to act like it was this organic find. You're like, wow, she looks great in that outfit.
Yeah, no, she just blew up. And so we were like, okay, if we do well with this, there's a possibility, and I don't remember what the parameters were or how they were going to choose. I just remember
you were trying to give her the Huey Lewis Tower of Power.
Yeah, exactly.
Buddy,
I just remember I was like, if we do this right, and we're the ones that get Jenny McCarthy to come to you know, at the time I was going to George Mason, obviously, and get her to come to George Mason, and we're sponsoring it because she was going to come and do whatever it is that they do. I don't know. Then we're going to be heroes.
Yeah.
Heroes on this campus. And our faculty advisor got wind that we were going to do this interview, and she told us, no, we could not do it.
Oh, my God.
She said, you cannot do it.
She's shaming Jenny McCarthy for having pulled out her Irish Catholic cans.
Pretty much. Yeah. So we never, ever got to do.
I hate that stuff, because if you turn it back on her and you're like, what's the problem? Are you like uptight about women showing off their bodies? And. You know,
it was
no
again the early 90s, and we didn't want to fight because we were college kids and we loved working at the radio station.
Have you learned
nothing
from the Beastie Boys?
I know. If we had, I think we should have pushed for it and just said, hey, this is, you know, but no, we didn't.
It's
so we backed off.
Die on.
So I missed my chance to interview Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
And then
could have been a lifelong friend slash lover.
Never know.
Yeah.
Never know what would have happened. Maybe we would have been.
You could have been the one to give her that autistic son. You could have done it.
I don't know if that would have happened, but it would have been cool just if we had won and brought her to the school. That would have been awesome.
That's good.
And then years later, when I had a huge crush on Tara Reid, pre-surgery Tara Reid.
Oh, back when her boobs looked kind of... Her boobs were the worst thing. I don't know.
Right, but back when she was normal.
Yeah, okay,
before she went loco crazy. This would have been about the time Van Wilder
peak Tara Reid. You're like 1 or 2 years after American Pie then, yeah.
Yeah, peak Tara Reid. I don't think she's looked...
Not
any,
a statement we've heard lately.
Well, no, I don't think she's looked any better than she did
okay.
in Van Wilder.
Is Tara Reid like an all-timer for you? Like you?
I mean, for like a year and a half.
For that time. Okay.
For like maybe a second or two.
She was the Bill Maid of the year.
Right. But you remember she dated one of the Ravens' quarterbacks, Kyle Bowler maybe. Okay. Which one did she date? I don't remember. At one point...
Probably RG3.
No.
Okay.
At one point she was dating or had dated... Anyway, she was shooting what ended up to be a really... bad movie out in Canada, and I don't remember what the name of the movie was now, okay. but it ended up being just it was horrible.
Yes.
Well, they had, at the time, Steve Hill, my partner, when I was working up in Baltimore, had, again, known, because we were joking about it, like, hey, she comes to Baltimore, and she, you know, dumps what's-his-face and wants to hang out with us.
Wants to get Tower of Power.
I don't remember exactly how the scenario came up, but I was like, yeah, I think we were asked, like, celebrity crushes, if you could have somebody... And do the whole, you know, take them to dinner and do all this other stuff. Who'd it be? And I, you know, yeah. I said Tara Reid at the time, and I said, oh, and my buddy Steve, who was doing the show with me, was actually a chef as well in a past life. So I was like, I would get you to cook us dinner mm-hmm. because you're a chef.
You would put the Rohypnol into the supply.
Exactly. I said, because then you could drug her
yeah.
and nobody would know, be any the wiser. So he had arranged, and this is a classic Tara Reid story. He had arranged for her to call for my birthday. Because we were on the air
That's
for
awesome,
my birthday.
Yeah.
And she was in Canada doing this movie. And, of course, there's a time change because she's out in, like, Vancouver.
Yes.
So we're off the air. Donna Mike started at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the air from 11 to 3. So they were going to have her call at 2:45.
Okay.
To end the show, my birthday show, with special guest Tara Reid calling to wish me happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a fantastic idea. And... Yeah. She screwed it up, thinking it was 2:45.
Oh, so she calls 5:45.
Bingo, in the middle of Don and Mike. And of course, the board op back at JFK Baltimore, Live yeah. 105.7, was like, I don't know who you are. Click.
Oh.
And had no idea. So I never got to talk to her.
Oh, that's the saddest thing I've ever... I thought you were going to say that at least they had her on air and, like, you know...
No, because she didn't...
Harassed her in the name of comedy.
No, of course, because... We didn't give her the Donna Mike 800 number. They gave her the inside line, her manager, the inside line.
Like a hotline number.
To the Baltimore station, right. To Baltimore.
That's weird that someone calling a hotline got such short shrift.
Well, like, again, you got to remember, it's a board op just running the commercials for Donna Mike. It's some schmuck that was probably getting $8.50 an hour at that point.
Oh, gotcha.
So
they're not
pick
broadcasting
up at,
there. Yeah,
yeah, they pick up at 5:45 and they're like, hello, because
yes.
they're not going to say... Live 105.7, because you didn't, if somebody misdialed, you didn't want to give out that was the
back
hotline
when,
number.
Back when the radio station hotline was
yeah,
a hot commodity.
So you
yeah.
didn't want to say that because that would give yeah. out, you know, so you would usually just pick up and go, yeah, hi, this is Rick or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, the person like them be like, oh, hi, Rick, this is so and so with whatever media.
It's Tara Reid.
We have Tara Reid for you. And apparently the kid went, who? And Tara Reid was supposed to call in and went through the whole thing. And the guy was like, yeah, that show ended 3 hours ago.
Wow.
Suck on the dial tone there, PR person.
Wow.
Yeah, so I never got my Tara
Reid
phone call either for
my
birthday.
Please tell me the next day you beat the living piss out of that
no,
kid.
No, because they didn't tell me that it was supposed to happen. They just kept saying, oh, we got a big surprise for you coming up at the end of the show, and then it never happened.
Yeah.
And so I went with the, well, you guys were just trying, because I was like, yeah, sure you do. I figured they were just trying to string me along, and there wasn't going to be, like, our boss was going to come in and say happy birthday and give us, like, a $15 gift card
Ray
to Subway
Lewis
or something.
Ray Lewis walked in and gave you the knife.
Yeah, I mean, something along those lines. And then so when it didn't happen, I was like, that was pretty good trying to build, you know, like, right before we get off the air, I'm like, it's a great job building up everything for nothing. Typical of this show, guys. Way to go.
Yeah.
Donna Mike are next. We'll see you tomorrow. I mean, that's literally what I said, and that was the end of it. And we get off the air, and I'm like, so what happened? Because
yeah.
I knew there had to be, because they were all so happy with themselves.
Of course.
They were so
yeah.
happy with themselves. And you could see they were like, why isn't the phone ringing? Why isn't the phone ringing? Why isn't the phone ringing? Yeah. It was just like, why wasn't happening? So I was like, so what happened? And they're like, well, we had Tara Reid calling in, but she's doing a movie. I guess they went late and I'm sorry. And I was like, whatever. It's cool. I said, thanks for trying, but yeah. No big deal. And then when that stupid board op left us the note of, hey, some PR person called and said Tara Reid, but I mean, you guys weren't here, so I just hung up. We're like,
oh, moron. God.
So yeah. Tragic.
That was a really sad story.
It's tragic.
Like,
it's not that sad.
No, it's pretty sad. I don't know. I picture something could have come of that.
Nah, she was too weird.
That kid was like the Terminator, killing Kyle Reese. Yeah.
Just ended.
And now we don't have John Connor.
No.
Sad stuff, man.
I know. Sorry. We've wasted way too much time on really dumb stuff that happened.
Yeah,
to
that's
me.
The whole
so
show.
Let's
it's
move.
Fine. No,
let's move
it's
away
good.
From this.
No, I wanted to explore more high school girl groups now.
That's
like
little,
where the soccer
it's a
players
little
stood.
Creepy, actually.
I'm not going to take us by, one of the local talents.
Like, I hope not.
One of the, we're good there. I was just trying to think what every girl fell into, like sports wise.
Oh.
Like, was there rugby at your school?
No.
Okay. Those would have been the tough as nails girls who probably had some things to figure out. The soccer girls would have been my sleeper pick for like the actual ones in great shape. Like they had the vicious
they had to
ass.
Run all
yeah,
the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
But you couldn't appreciate that as a kid. Like, do you remember, like, I don't know if this was the case with you, but when I was a kid, up until like 2021 or something, it was just all face and boobs. Like I had no comprehension outside of that, like what made someone attractive. I was just like, she has big jugs, she's thin, and she's got a great face. That's
whatever it. Was attractive would be whatever was what you found attractive.
But
right?
I didn't like. I maybe it was being like a white kid in the late 90s, but like I didn't know how to judge an ass for a damn for a long time. Like it took me a while to be like, this is a good ass.
Why would you? I mean, again, it just depends on. Probably whatever porn you consumed so much as a youngster, I would think.
This is something you millennials will never appreciate, and it's the one thing I'll kind of give J-Lo her due on. Like, when J-Lo came out...
Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, and people see her now, and she's lost every inch of her old Latin ass, like, through dancing or whatever the hell. But back when she was young, and she didn't have to, like, exercise 10 hours a day to have some, like... weird, wiry, you would still hit it shape at age 50.
Right.
Like, she had a gigantic fat ass. Like, and in retrospect, in a fun way. But, like, as a kid back then, you were kind of like Sir Mix-a-Lot, the white guy at the end of the video with his, like, fingertip under the tie. Just like, can I handle that? Do I even want that? Because, like, white girls didn't have asses in the mid to late 90s. Like I would say early 2000s, Britney Spears kind of first had a dumper on her. I don't know. Like, that was the first kind of thick thighed a little bit. But back then, it was just like waifs that got implants. Like, guys were supposed to jerk off to Meg Ryan, America's sweetheart.
I don't remember that ever being like a requirement or even a suggestion.
It's how you got into high school. You showed you had your shots and you jizzed to Meg Ryan.
Yeah. I was never a Meg Ryan.
Oh God, no!
Guy.
I mean, she was adorable. I suppose I'm trying to remember like what I actually wanted to bone as a kid, like who I actually had stirrings in my loins.
I don't remember. I mean, I think we've talked about this before too. I didn't even have like the Farrah Fawcett posters or whoever you were supposed to have on your wall.
Well, yeah, that would make you 55 or some crap. No, I had posters, but I had like...
Oh, I didn't have posters. I didn't even have...
Really?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Oh, no. I had the... It was a transition. It was a one-step transition. I had all of the cool guy crap that they sold at the book fair. So like around second grade or so.
Oh, right.
It was just like pictures of like Lamborghini Countaches.
Yeah, of course.
And,
yep.
Yeah. I had like maybe a F-16 or something on my
there you go.
Really dumb stuff. Like, what
That's
am I supposed
fine.
To jerk off to metal? Like, I don't get it. They're trying to give you some weird complexes. And then I hit around 13-ish, and it was just like a wholesale. All of those come down, and you buy a couple of issues of like, I want to say like Metal Edge and Hit Parader.
Yeah, no.
And your wall was just
never.
Like... Yeah, it depended how heavy you wanted to get. Like, were you the
Vince
guy with, like...
Neil and...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, did you have the Motley Crue posters? Okay, so I'll say that. Then that was a two-phaser. It was, like, the Motley Crue / Queensryche /, like, are you cool with Cinderella on your wall?
Yikes.
And then it became, like, suddenly Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, Pantera. Yeah. Like, the real, like, you will never meet a woman listening to this type stuff.
Yeah, see, I was, again, like I said before, I was a top 40 nerd. I didn't listen to hardly any of that stuff, but I didn't have posters of whoever the top 40 people were at the time on my wall. I just never.
You didn't rock an Osmonds poster on your wall?
No. Funny you say that. That was absolutely the first concert that I ever went to.
Really?
Was the Osmonds at the Cap Center. I was 5. I got dragged there because my sister, who was older than me, was a big Donnie Marie fan.
God,
so
God.
This would have been
in the heyday. Country and rock and roll song.
I barely remember any of it. Again, okay. I was 5. But I can honestly say that was the first concert that I ever went to. Like,
wow.
Paid, dragged there, had a ticket at the Cap Center.
Mine was Meriwether Post Pavilion, Metallica.
Nice. Jesus.
With the opening act was Suicidal Tendencies, and then the middle was Candlebox filling in.
Candlebox.
Closing with, I believe, You, because they only had You.
Did they open with that as well? Yes. Because they had like 2 songs.
Well, they had You and then Far Behind. That was their huge kind of power balladish. Okay. And then they were filling in for Alice in Chains, which would have been an amazing lineup. But this was after Lane got real into heroin and never performed live again.
Well,
so we were just like, man, I hope he feels better. I'll catch him this fall.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
Not so much.
Yeah, exactly. The coroner will have a date with him soon enough. But, yep. That was my first show. And it was that was a banger, man. I like that.
That's much more impressive than mine.
No, I was proud of it. It was the first I kind of like raised a big, you know, stink about getting driven there.
Right.
And we had to leave before everyone else left. I think we left even before the show ended, much less encores, because it was our first time. So
sure.
We knew nothing. We didn't know that, like, you can sit there and listen to all of One, you dip ass, you know, like they're going to play some cuts after that.
Right.
And instead we were just like, oh my God, it's been 1:10. Let's just leave now.
We should probably go before everybody else does.
Yeah. Oh,
beat
God.
The traffic.
Back when concerts were just vicious. Like, people just abused the little kids in the audience. Like, people get cigarettes flicked out of them.
Yeah, that's a lot different than my concert experience.
Not much happened, but like I saw it. Thank God I was never that abused at a show. And I don't think in turn I abused many kids at shows as I got a little bit older, but like that metal crowd could turn on kids in a heartbeat.
Never a metal guy. So let's see. What else did I see when I was younger? I went to see Hall & Oates.
I would do that now.
I have in the past.
You've done a
probably
little Wolf
three
Trap?
Or 4 years.
A little Wolf Trap?
No,
Hall &
Oates. They played at the Verizon or
really?
whatever it's called now.
Oh,
it's not. It was MCI Center, Verizon. What is it?
It's the Sprint Center now.
Right? No, it's some bank, right?
Capital One. Yeah, because the Caps.
Yeah. That's not why.
Well, no, that's how I remember it, though. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, they were there a couple years ago. I went to see them. But yeah, I saw them on it was 1985-ish, 84-ish, the Big Bam Boom tour.
What?
Still remember
was that
the tour?
Hall & Oates.
Mm-hmm, that was Hall & Oates.
Okay.
That was their album. Big Bam Boom.
Big Bam Boom. What were the hot cuts off
of
Big Bam Boom?
Dance on Your Knees.
Okay.
So
you would give a girl a Tower of Power and then make her dance on her knees.
Well,
all right.
You know, whatever works. Actually, I went to that. I was probably 12 or 13, depending on when that album came out. I had a, it was a family friend. We called her mom and dad aunt and uncle, but it was one of those things where not really your aunt and uncle, but that's what you call them, you know. Uncle.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I thought that was a weird Greek thing for the most part.
No, I think it's just a friends thing.
Okay.
So yeah, so their daughter who had babysat me when I was younger, she was probably she's probably, 10 years older than me? Maybe even more than that. So she's in her 20s at this point.
All right.
And she's Hall & Oates fan. So I was like, okay, I'll buy the tickets. You have to drive us there because I'm 13. I can't drive. Why this 20-something decided that she would be nice to her, you know, family friend, this kid that she babysat 7 years ago.
Oh, God.
And, you know, when she was in high school, and she was like, sure, you get a ticket, I'll go.
That is the weirdest
like,
damn
awesome.
Thing you've ever said in your life. Like, if I were 23 and a 13-year-old was like, want to hang out, I'd be like, I'd rather die.
Yeah, so I have no idea.
Like, slow death.
Yeah, I have no idea why she agreed to it, other than maybe she just wanted to go. But it's not like she would, like, brought friends or anything. It was just her and I.
Was she comely?
This is, again, 35 years ago now? So you're testing my memory. She was probably very pleasant.
Okay.
Don't remember.
Maybe she wanted it.
No.
Maybe she was like one of those creepy teachers.
Really
like one
sick.
Of those really hot 23-year-old teachers.
That's really sick. But so yeah, we went to the Hall and Oates.
All right.
And I remember general public opened up for them.
Wow. I have no idea what general public is.
You'd have to look that up on YouTube. They have a couple of hits.
Oh man.
You have to look it up.
Hits that did not escape 1985. Because even probably. You saying Dance on Your Knees. I'll
look up that whole. Go ahead, you keep talking. I'm gonna look up that
deep
whole
on
album.
Hall and Oates, but like I've listened to like bigger greatest hits collections of theirs. You know, like I'm not just a dude who knows like Maneater. I can name about, you know, I've heard maybe like 20-25 cuts of theirs.
Okay,
we'll put it that way. Dance on Your Knees has completely.
Can you not bring that up on?
Oh, I can punch it up. Sure, give me a second. I know you're kind of keying me that direction.
Let's see. I'm gonna look up the whole.
YouTube.com. Who are we looking up again?
You're going to look up Dance on Your Knees. Out of Touch.
Out of Touch is a slammer. Yeah.
Method of Modern Love was on that.
M-E-T-H. Okay, yeah.
There you go. That's that album.
Hold on. So general public?
Yep.
Tenderness.
Yep, that's the one.
This is.
You pull that up? This was a monster hit.
Okay.
From what I remember.
We've got a 3-second countdown through a Sam Adams commercial.
Nice. I like Sam Adams. They should sponsor this show.
It starts with really just pictures of, okay, now the kids have gotten black, but it did look like an Aryan Brotherhood thing at first. It was just like blue kids.
One of the guys is African American, I believe. If not both of them, I think.
Oh, no. This guy looks like the evil kid from Karate Kid.
Oh, okay.
Like this is Sweep Him in the Leg Johnny playing the guitar. Oh, yeah, and then there's a black dude literally dancing in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he's in the band.
He is in the band, yeah.
But, like, he's literally just snapping his fingers and singing background right now.
You don't remember? You've never heard this song?
Not in the least.
But how...
Oh, the video is bad.
How 80s is this? Just listen to the tune. It's so 80s. I mean...
Where is it?
If you asked anyone, if you gave a 15-year-old kid headphones and played this...
Yeah,
he would
kill himself.
No, they would instantly go, that's the 80s.
Well, yeah. I don't know, man. Kids are stupid these days. You really think they could even narrow it down to a
decade?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, kids are dumb.
This is so classic 80s.
Oh, you have too much faith in people.
Maybe.
They'd be like, is this from 97? Trust me, people are dumb. All right.
Yeah,
wow.
There you go. There's general public. They had one other hit, too, but I don't remember what the name of it was.
Oh, it was auto-populating. We can visit. There's Never Done That. Save it for later. I'll Take You There.
I think it might have been I'll Take You There.
Hot, You're Cool.
No, I don't remember that one. But anyway, so that's... Why are we talking about this?
That's what happened. How it happened.
And you know what? It's your brother's fault.
It is.
It started off with him teaching guitar. That's how we got down this road.
I think what's funny is you mentioned Vince Neil, and I did want to talk about they put a
that's right.
the Motley Crue
that's
biopic.
Right. It all comes full circle. There we go. Good. Get off of this nonsense that nobody cares about.
Well, now I just want to play general public.
Everybody
video.
Is listening to this going, we're tired of listening to the old
no,
man reminisce.
They're clapping
about
along
his
to tenderness and dancing.
They're not. They're going, would you shut the old guy up?
Dancing in the
streets.
And his streets.
Reminiscing of 35 years ago.
They're celebrating the Tower
13.
Of Power.
So, Tower of Power is great. You can say what you don't insult them. They were fantastic.
Oh, was that just his backing band? And then
yeah, no, they were an actual group.
Oh, did they get E-streeted? Where like they got subsumed?
Not so much. I mean, I don't think he toured with them after the initial like maybe Sport and Four. They were kind of like the Wall of Sound type thing back in the 60s. That's probably
okay.
You have no idea. I imagine.
I know
that.
Phil Spector.
Ronnie Spector. Yeah, I was gonna say Phil
murdered
Spector.
A woman.
Same thing. Yeah. It's the exact same thing. But yeah, no. Tower of Power was just the group of. I don't know if they ever put out an album or if they were just studio guys. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. But yeah,
like the Wrecking Crew.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you see that documentary on them on Netflix?
It's amazing. Phenomenal. I've watched the first 10 minutes. For some reason, I ADD'd out on
it. If you can get past, it is very boring the first 10, 15 minutes. If you can get past, if you can get a half hour into it, and then you
I'll be riveted.
You realize how many songs and albums. I mean, you're just like, holy cow.
No, they're the soundtrack to everything.
Yeah. you don't, and it's something that none of us ever think about. I mean, it's probably even more so back then, because now you can do so much with the computers and you can, generate, I need something that sounds like a violin.
I didn't think anything you said sounded old so far until you said the computers. And that made
I just say the computer?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're like, with the computer.
Oh, sorry. Well, okay,
with the personal computer. Here's my Tandy.
Yeah, that's right. My Tandy 1000 or whatever it was. Apple, what was it?
Here's my C64.
Yeah.
two kilobytes.
It is amazing to think about, and this would be probably for people, their parents or grandparents' generations of the music they've listened to, but it is amazing to understand that they played, like, with the Beach Boys, and then they also played on some Motowns, and it's like the same people were playing all these different genres of music. You just wouldn't.
They were the computer back then.
But you would never think that. You'd be like, okay, the rock guys would play on the rock albums. Mm-hmm. They were just like, okay, we want you to play. Here's what we want you to play. All right. And they would just go.
Like a truly great studio musician really can do that. It's like, what do you want me to do? I'm now doing jazzy crap.
Right.
Cool. You need some heavy metal shreds? There you go.
Right.
It's amazing to see in action.
Like, yeah, but the Wrecking Crew people were unbelievable.
Yeah, one of them just died. I don't remember.
I'm sure there's a couple of them that have just recently died.
One kicked off like a week ago.
Oh, okay.
Like a guitarist, I think.
Okay.
He was just getting his due.
Dick Dale.
Well, Dick Dale died too, yeah.
Okay.
I love Dick Dale. I actually had a couple Dick Dale albums. Tribal Thunder, baby.
Nice.
Yeah, I used to play that a lot. Weirdly enough, this will bring the show to a crashing halt. Like, I was jamming that album a lot the summer when my, dad got sick and ultimately passed. There's a bunch of music I did that to.
Can't listen to it
anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan. Like, it'll put me in a weird place.
I get it.
Absolutely. Like, Sting's Fields of Gold.
I don't know why you're listening to Sting anyway. But.
Well, it's for my mom. Like, she
She
literally could not have picked two albums that would haunt you more if a loved one died. Like, it was her birthday in August, and he croaked eventually, like, October. But, like, we knew he was sick in August. And I thought I was being the good son going to Tower Records and getting Enya's Only Time and Sting's Field of Gold.
Oh.
And you play those both, and it's literally like we all just looked at each other, my dad, the rest of the family. It's like, we won't listen to this soon because you'll be dead soon, and it will haunt us.
Oh.
It was the most surreal, horrible thing. It was just like, turn this off, and those discs are banished from the house.
Yeah. It's awful. I don't know why you're buying Enya anyway. But
if there were an act to be associated with death and you don't want around, Enya's great. The extent of Enya I want to hear is the beginning of Fuji's Ready or Not, that loop that they lifted from her. That's it. Enya can blow me.
There you go.
That rich Irish bitch.
There you go.
She's covered. So
have you seen The Dirt?
I watched it day one. Like, I was a big Crew fan. They were my very first band, and I guess I'm somewhere on the spectrum. I don't know, but like, I got
the spectrum of fandom or autism.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, the big A.
Okay,
I got a couple of the puzzle pieces. So,
why would you say that?
I don't know. I just get real into crap when I'm into it.
That's obsessive. That's not autism.
It's all the same thing, right?
I guess.
Isn't it? Yeah. So I, as a little kid, really loved Motley Crue, and eventually,
what was it about Motley Crue that you loved? Was it the long hair? Was it the makeup? What is it that attracted you?
Wasn't so much the makeup. Like, I thought, even as a kid, the look was a little queer, to use a technical term. But like Home Sweet Home, I thought was a really catchy song.
It's a really good tune. It's a great power ballad.
Yeah, their most recent album that dropped when I started listening to them was Dr. Feelgood, which is by far probably their best effort.
Right.
In terms of like being catchy, like later on, I guess they were never really great. Like looking back,
you can look at that for any.
But
group
I just yeah,
or, I mean,
like,
you know,
they were kind of badass for their time. Like, a couple years later, you had guys like Pac coming along.
Right.
And there was like, murder. And you're like, oh, that's a little more badass than just like pounding strippers and doing coke off their jugs.
Right.
But in retrospect, like, they're still alive doing coke off of strippers' jugs.
Barely, but yes. But
yeah, that was cool. Like, you know, they're in Bounds level wild, like Ozzy level wild. It's not like the Norse black metal where they're like burning down churches and killing their band members
right,
and stuff.
Right.
Like, that's again like Tupac, a bridge too far. But I enjoyed them until I got into heavier stuff a couple years later.
Okay.
And I didn't think of them much. Like, they were kind of a joke for the better part of the 90s. Like, remember when...
Right, because everyone went, ha-ha, Vince Neil, great.
Yeah,
got fat
exactly.
Fat and old.
And he got surgery, and he looked like melted Vince Neil all of a sudden. It was weird.
Like, he looked like... He got fat and bloated for a while, too. I mean, the drugs will do that to you. So.
And he never... Well, see, I think he was one of those guys that kind of just rode a natural metabolism, probably did a ton of blow, and that kept him petite. And then...
petite.
And fit for the leotards. And then when you clean up... And, like,
right.
You've got eight things you were shoving into your brain to make dopamine happen,
right.
And suddenly they're all gone. You're like, hey, you know what's awesome? Pizza.
Yeah, right. Like, give me another round of wings.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
would be delicious.
What
right
are these
now?
Called? Nuggets? They're incredible. So, but, again, people that haven't lived through it won't remember, but this, you and I did.
Sure.
After grunge hit, you had that really sad time when all these metal artists were trying
over.
To be grungy a little bit. Like, Warrant did an album, Ultraphobic, that used all the grunge imagery. Like, there was a guy in a gas mask and a hazmat suit. You're like, it's Warrant! You do a song for strip clubs! It's called Cherry Pie, and it's an anthem! Like,
right.
Be proud! But you couldn't have perspective back then. Like, to not be that new thing, you were a joke. And Motley Crue did, like, just the eponymous album of just called Motley Crue, and it was like them all edgy. And
right.
Then they did, I think, Generation
We're depressed,
X1.
Too, even
exactly.
though we've been banging strippers for
exactly.
years and doing blow.
Like,
yeah.
Somehow I've raw-dogged 10,000 women, and I don't have AIDS, but I'm depressed.
Right.
No, get the hell out of
right,
here.
Right.
You're literally banging Heather Locklear into Pam Anderson. Like, people would murder... in the name of Allah to be you. But yes, you're depressed. Your life sucks. And it was sad for those guys for a while. And then about 10 years after the grunge bomb dropped, it kind of became like, all right, grunge has played out too. Some of us just want to hear dumb music again. And they started having a bit of a resurgence. And now they're fine.
Right.
Like, now there's,
the, you know, yeah. It's the
like acts that they inspired are big, like Avenged Sevenfold, and you know,
no
there was,
idea.
Yeah, I think Black Veil Brides or something. I don't
yeah,
know
no
either.
Idea.
Yeah, but they have a very Motley Crue look to them. Like, there's bands. Hell, those bands are like 10 years old at this point. Like, the children of these glam
right.
acts. But the whole point is, I at one point read the autobiography that was done with the help of Neil Strauss, that guy
mm-hmm.
who later did a book about
yeah.
the pickup scene in
yep.
the game.
Yep.
It was a book called The Dirt. And it was an amazing, like, the filthy crap they did as rock stars was, like, it starts with Tommy Lee talking about an ex-girlfriend of his named, like, Moose or something like that, who he's like, she wasn't that attractive, but she could squirt. And so that was awesome. So he's just talking about going down on her in the group van and then making her squirt all over, like, the upholstery and everything when the guys weren't there. And the guys are like, yeah, that van effing stank. And it was just
Jeez.
Them telling these horrible, like, they would stay out banging all night after shows and then to not get caught by their girls, who were literally just cool with having to pull their shorts down and be like, I smell woman on you. They would buy a burrito, bite the end off it, and stick their dick in the burrito. Like, taking turns banging the burrito. Oh. Because apparently your girl's going to be like, chorizo and eggs. And a faint fishiness. This isn't suspicious at all. But, like, the stories, like, Nikki Sixx. I'll give you another highlight. Nikki Sixx goes home, effed up to his apartment complex in L.A. One of the neighbors is like, you're Nikki Sixx. Go down on me. He's like, all right, I'll eat your box for a while. Next day, wanders out sober, waves to his neighbor, thinking he's like a great neighbor. Neighbor runs away screaming. Turns out she was like Aunt Flo and like a mother, and he looked like Andrew W.K. on the cover of his
no.
Like, just story after story. And they made a movie on it. And you know what? As much as I hate every music biopic ever, like The Bloated Ray. And you know what? Haven't even seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, I haven't either. I have no desire to.
Exactly.
To be honest with you.
But you know what? As a free thing that I just pop on Netflix, it's got, I think, Ewan Greyjoy or whatever. One of the guys from A Real Bastard from Game of Thrones has a role in it. Like, it was great. It's just 2 hours of crap.
Is it better than, like, the behind the music stuff because they can, like, actually curse or tell really horrific stories?
I mean, it is the most by the numbers thing that you could do with Motley Crue, where it's like, they're not famous. They're famous. People are dying. They're back together. End. But, like, it's a movie.
Here's some heroin.
Yeah.
I mean,
it starts out with Tommy going down on this girl at the party, and she's spraying all over the other partygoers. And I'm like, I don't care what the rest of the movie contains. Like, that is a good way to start a movie. Like, and it was just really cheesy, but when you're not telling me that a dumb biopic that's like, well, here's point A, point B, and we got to get there in 2 hours, when you're just like, this is a dumb piece of crap and watch some guys like pound ass and do heroin, like, I can enjoy that. When you're not putting it out as some Oscar winner, that was fun as hell. Like, you should watch it. Go home and watch it. I recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a ton about it. So, and I've heard people talking about it. So it's
really,
it's
is it
like,
getting traction already?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I'm listening to, you know, satellite radio and listening to, you know, the people, different various shows, and they've had whoever the producer, director was.
I don't know the film side of things. I think Nikki Sixx, the guy that wrote pretty much all their music, he's kind of been their mouthpiece. Because he's got a radio show that's actually syndicated in 98 Rock. He's been a radio host for years now.
No, this is whoever I'm probably messing up, director, producer, whoever it was that kind of put the thing together, has been making the rounds on all the talk shows. And so I've heard him do a couple of them, and it sounds really interesting.
It was a great
just
watch.
Just haven't carved out the 2 hours. I'm still recovering from the last wonderful music biopic that I watched, and that was Escaping Neverland.
Which
is just
leaving Neverland.
Leaving, yes. Well, escaping is what I mean. To me, it would have been escaping. But yes, leaving Neverland. Wow. Did you watch that at all?
Oh, dude, I watched all 4 hours night of. Like,
Was it Sunday? Monday was when it came on, like the first.
Yeah, but it just streamed. Like, they put both on Sunday night, and I'm like such a whore for HBO.
Yeah, no, I watched like a week later because I was like, don't really care. To me, even before it came out, I've always been of the opinion that he was a pedophile.
Well,
I didn't need this to change my mind because I've always, from the time he had this court case and he was dancing on the van after they said that he was not guilty, I was like, sure you're not. It just seemed too convenient. And then you watch this, and I was like, I was just sitting in the back. I was like one of those people at church that knows everything the preacher's going to say, and I'm just amen and left and right. That's right. You better believe it. All that for 4 hours. That's all I was doing. Yep.
You were just a fed up black woman. Like,
Well, that, and I'm like looking at the parents like, and again, I'm watching it by myself.
Yeah.
Just because I'm the only one in my house that has 4 hours to dedicate to this. And there's no other reason.
Yeah.
But so my girlfriend's like in the other room, and there were.
She's like, what's going on down there?
Well, no, there were a couple of moments where I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like out loud. Which I generally, even watching sports or most stuff, I generally do not comment to the TV because I understand the people in the box can't hear me.
You sounded like when the Pats came back from 28-3.
Right, yeah, exactly. I'm screaming at the television. But I was like, oh my God. And she was like, what? And I was like, I can't really explain to you. It was when he was like, and, you know, I think about it, and it's like you have this 40-year-old man, and he puts his penis into a 9, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
time out, we're gonna take we're gonna take a little break here, we're all gonna regroup, let's meet back here in like 5 minutes, because I was
it is testament to the power of like hearing someone's story or video, because like
absolutely
you're a kid and you learn about Hitler and the Holocaust, you're like, yeah, he's a bad dude. That was a bad thing.
He killed a lot of people, he did.
Yeah, then you watch Schindler's List, you're like, oh, no, he was really bad.
Yeah. Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, now it computes. Yeah. That was real mean of him.
But I don't blame obviously. The kids.
Not in the least.
Because the one, I think.
Dude, that's my first insight into what happens to your brain when you're diddled. Like, these kids were straight, and yet they're like, yeah, I was, like, really in love with Michael. And you're like, oh, God, I guess that would happen.
And then,
I don't know.
The kid, whichever kid, and I get their names mixed up sometimes, the kid that came from Australia.
That was Dance Kid. Let's just call him Dance Kid and Act Kid.
There you go. Because they're different. Dancing Kid, who's, like, the choreographer. He did, like, Britney Spears choreography and all that stuff, whatever his name is. Jordan something, I think. The fact that his parents came to the U.S. on vacation and went by and saw, you know, and stayed with Mike. Okay, cool. That's really cool that they were able to go and stay there. And then they're like, oh, we're going to go to the Grand Canyon now. And Mike's like, hey, leave the nine-year-old.
I like your manly Michael Jackson. Yeah. Hey, leave that nice nine-year-old ass with me. Going to ream it.
But that's basically what it was. Hey, leave the nine-year-old behind. I'll watch him. This is before, and I'm sure people now are like, okay, well, maybe a little strange, but you could like, yeah, FaceTime. No. There's no cell phone. There's no FaceTiming. They're just like, complete stranger. Here you go. Here's my son.
He was Michael.
We're going to the Grand Canyon.
I know.
And when we try to call, all of his handlers are going to be like, oh, no, sorry. Mike and Jordy are out by the pool. I don't know.
It'll be Bubbles screaming into the phone and
slamming
it down.
Get the chimp.
Yeah.
Just why would you ever? So the parents are diabolical. They are horrible.
They're just, I guess, dumb as all hell. They're dumb as all hell. But
I don't care what any Michael Jackson fan says. I absolutely believe those kids. You cannot.
100%.
You cannot lie.
100%.
As they looked in that camera and see the hollowness in their eyes.
They are either an untapped Orson Welles and Brando or they got diddled.
Exactly. Yeah. So I say, if they're lying about this, then get them in the next movie because that's Oscar worthy.
The next movie.
They need to be in whatever movie comes out, whatever you're putting together. They can play any role.
Absolutely. Meryl Streep has nothing.
That's right.
Because
if they can pretend that they were diddled by Michael Jackson and sit there to be able to sit there, why would you want to lie about this?
Exactly. That's the other thing. They're talking about like being 14 and still having to take a D in the A. That's not fun. And people are, you're just doing it to get what you're getting. What are you going to get? What are you going to get?
Closure?
You're
not even getting that.
Freaky people on Twitter scorning you and like sending you your home address and being like, there's more where that came from. And you're like, okay, great. This is awesome. It's funny you say that like you always knew because when I was a kid.
I didn't like to say knew, believed. Yeah. I always believed that he was guilty.
See,
always.
I was a kid I was maybe like a year or two older than these guys. When I met Michael. Well, no.
You know, they say there are more out there.
Yeah. Nah. Sad. See, my mom never took me to a Michael Jackson concert. God, I could be making that sweet lie about Michael touching me.
Here's my only connection. Go back again. We were talking about the concerts you saw when you were younger.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson, I did see in concert.
Oh, what? Rhythm Nation?
I believe it was, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? Complete circle. Won the tickets from Don and Mike.
Oh my God!
There you go.
That is a weird complete.
There you
circle.
Go.
That
Won the tickets amazing. From Don and Mike.
That is amazing.
Janet Jackson at the Capitol Center. It's horrible.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I forget who her opening act was, but like he came
it
on.
Was
at,
Tito?
Like, no, it was some. I really thought about it. I remember, but some R&B guy that went on at like 7:30, and he played like 7:30 to 8:15.
Okay.
And she didn't come on until 10.
What a bitch!
I was 16. What? We're having it again. Grandpa, shut up and go on with the show. I had taken my girlfriend. So I guess I was 17 at the time. We had to go to the payphone.
Yeah.
At the Cap Center, and call
and
her
put
mom.
Put in the nickel.
Well, it was a quarter. Come on, I'm not that old. We weren't dropping dimes on anybody, Shay. It was a quarter, but we had to call her mom and my mom. And be like, it's 9:45. The show hasn't started. We're not going to be home. Because we were like, oh, well, it starts at 7:30. We'll probably be home before midnight easily.
Yeah.
We're like, we ain't going to be home. And they were pissed.
Of course.
But what were you going to do?
You're going to hold up the phone while she does Black Cat.
Yeah.
They'll understand the magic.
Exactly. But, yeah, so I saw Janet Jackson, never saw Michael. Or the Jackson 5, for that matter.
I
was a fan of the cartoon, though.
When I do some more stand-up. I'm performing actually a 5 coming up tomorrow. So what?
Nice.
March 26th over at Unified Scene Theater. The theater we mention all the time here, the improv place that my buddy Sean owns. But I was going to do a bit with my next 5 where it's like everyone is losing their mind saying, like, I'll never listen to Michael Jackson again.
Yes, you will.
First of all, yes, you will. Second of all, it's like, cool, can I listen to the Jackson 5?
Well, that's...
Like, he wasn't banging any kids then.
Here's my theory. I did, after this thing went out, after the HBO documentary, I was, A, not surprised that there were stations that are like, sorry, we can't play this music anymore. We just can't do it.
How about some Gary Glitter?
Yeah. Right, exactly. But I was immediately, the first thought I had was, well, I'm going to still listen to the Jackson 5 because those are damn good songs.
It's amazing. It's the best stuff on earth.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah. If he's banging a 5-year-old at 5, that's called consent, I guess.
But,
I don't know.
But I have, like, in flipping around, actually, you know what it was? The band at George Mason.
Okay.
Played some Michael Jackson at one of the games, like right after that came out. And I did find myself going, what are you, why
it takes
are you,
you
playing?
Out of the moment.
Well, no, I went, why are you playing this now? Give it a month.
Yeah, that's how
something.
I feel. Give it a year. So.
Give it a while. Yeah. But I was like, okay. So yes, people will still play it. And I mean, I don't know that they're making any statement by playing it. I think it's just in their repertoire. And they're like, eh, we didn't have time to learn anything new.
Exactly.
So here you go. But yeah, I'll still listen to the Jackson 5 stuff. But
I'll listen to whatever, man. I'm so like, because, okay, I'm a kid. I mostly hear it as jokes. Like, this is back when you could kind of like joke that a man's a pedophile.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute. Like,
see, I'm old enough to be like, we knew what the wink wink was with those jokes.
Yeah.
That you were telling the truth.
Yeah. It's like, I feel, look, I'm not very quote unquote down with the kids today, but I'll give them this. If there's enough smoke where, like, people are joking about kids getting banged by a certain someone,
right,
they're going to be like, hey, let's just, like, explore that and make sure it's just some weird joke. But I guess 99 times out of 100, if there's ped smoke, there's ped fire, you know? Like,
generally, yeah.
But then I did hit a certain point where I was like, I think he's just a weird son of a bitch and nothing happened. Then I saw this and I was like, oh, yeah, he definitely banged a lot of kids. Like,
yeah. Well, and even then, I can remember, because I'm old enough that, like, when Macaulay Culkin was hanging out with him. And
big
that
question.
Well,
you think he took it?
You know what?
My mom, because
I see Corey, was it Corey Feldman?
Yeah,
too,
my mom was like, do you think he porked Corey Feldman and Macaulay? And I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe they were friend-zoning him. Like, I think he probably made a play for the dick, but they might have
been
so big.
I'm going to say, exactly. I think that's part of it, too. They were both stars.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, I totally believe he paid off other people.
His entire game, though, like, as crappy and horrible as this is, his entire game was being,
I'll make
like,
you famous.
I'm a star. I'll make you famous. Yeah, like, Macaulay's like, dude, I got Home Alone 2 coming up.
Right.
You know, like,
Feldman,
I don't need you.
Feldman...
I think Feldman would bang him now more than he would then. Yeah.
I think, but you look at Corey Feldman now, and he says that something happened to him when he was younger, and I totally believe it.
But he maintains he's not Michael.
Well, I know, but I also wonder if that Michael also maybe picked up on that on some level, that like this kid's fucked in the head.
Oh, he's like, I don't want no sloppy seconds.
Well, or just this kid might be he's so fragile.
Yeah.
That, like, he might.
Isn't it funny that, like, wouldn't it be hilarious? Now I'm trying to make some laughter out of some sad stuff, but wouldn't it be weird if, like, peds framed little kids the same way, like, you and I frame women? Like, I'm not sticking my dick in crazy. Like, the hell with that? That bitch is going to ruin my car afterward.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah. But it's funny.
I don't. I mean, again, they all know the truth more than we do. I believe the two guys that are on that documentary 100%, because, again, looking at that, the actor dude, not the dancer dude. Dancer dude seems to be way more well-adjusted, as much as you can be.
The actor dude is very quiet to begin with.
He looks shattered.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you told me actor dude hanged himself like in another week, I'd be like, yeah, that was
He
coming.
Looked absolutely shattered to be reliving this type of stuff. And again, you look at Jordan or whatever his name is, the choreographer guy.
Jordan Peele.
didn't. No, I don't think so. For some reason, I don't think that's
it. He just made another hit.
But he looks, I'm not going to say normal. I'm going to say as well-adjusted as you could be for what happened to
him. Yeah. Oh, his wife was hot. I liked her.
Not really where I was going, but
sure, okay.
Sure, that's fine.
Maybe that's why he's in a better place, because the other guy's wife puffed up a little.
Yeah, maybe. But he just looked, the actor guy looked, again, just broken.
Yeah.
Why would you lie to look that? I mean, that's not a good look. It's not like he did this documentary and people are like, wow, that guy's amazing. Look how healthy he is. Look how sound of mind
he's gotten
he is.
Over it.
He's fantastic. Yeah, Bart. And celebrities need to just learn, and they haven't. Shut up. Don't say anything. Do you see Barbara Streisand? Her comment?
Is that another concert you saw?
No.
Okay.
But did you see her comments on this?
No.
Oh, you may have to Google this so I get it exactly right, because you're going to be like,
just give me.
Are you serious?
Just give me.
Something along the lines of, it didn't kill them.
Going on Nietzsche on it.
I mean,
didn't kill him.
She was just
that
like,
stronger.
She was just, well, it, the worst part was something along Michael, he liked what he liked or
oh
whatever.
My God.
I mean, it was like total dismissive.
What does she think this is? Ancient Greece?
Well, right. And she totally dismissive of it. And she goes, well, and they're not dead. It didn't kill them. And you're like, did you see the guy's soul?
It's
over for him. So she had to backtrack completely, but she's not the only one that's had to do that. It's like, shut up. Just shut up. If somebody asked you about it, it's a really sad situation. I wish it had never happened.
Yeah, how's that?
Even if you don't believe him.
Even if you are big with Michael, just say, oh, what a tragedy.
Right. It's a really tragic situation.
Yeah.
It's sad that he's not here. Either to make amends or defend himself, whichever the case may be.
That
it's
just means
sad.
James Brolin porks little boys. That's
I mean,
what I
it's
draw
just
from Barbara doing that.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific.
No. You can't watch that and walk away from it thinking anything but that. Like, maybe I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and she just like heard secondhand about it. So you're not invested in it, you know. But
I just think she's a callous bitch.
Probably, yeah. I mean, this is a woman who's had her ass kissed for 50 years, even with that beat.
And by the way, don't get it. Don't get it.
I guess the voice is good.
Don't
but
get it.
I've never heard a ton of
it. No, not a fan. Not a fan. Never been. I've always thought she was a loon.
I know very little about her.
Well, she was in A Star Is Born.
Yeah, the one. With
not the new one.
Yes.
The old one.
The middle one. I think there's three of them or something now. Yeah.
And everybody, her and Kris Kristofferson, I think it was.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to believe that Kristofferson wants to wax that.
Right. That's
Kristofferson was a handsome dude.
I mean, she was in Yentl.
Yes.
Really, have you seen
She pretends
Yentl?
She's a dude there and very little makeup is involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not seen it, but I've seen chunks of Yentl. Like,
yeah,
I saw some kind of retrospective that included
footage. I have zero interest in seeing anything that Barbara Streisand does on any level.
Not a fan of Prince of Tides, then?
No.
Nicholas Nolte.
No, that's a good pull. I don't think I could come up with another Barbara Streisand movie. Star Is Born, Prince of Tides, I'm out at that point. Yentl, I already mentioned, but that's it for me.
She wasn't Fiddler on the Roof. Now I'm just naming Jewish stuff, right?
She probably did it at some point.
Okay. Broadway, yeah, I got maybe. Nothing. No, you're right. You win. You're king of the Barbaras.
No, I don't
king
need that.
Barbara movies.
Awful. Awful.
So
the dirt much more entertaining, I imagine, than escaping or leaving Neverland or whatever it's called.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, because they had the one really sad thing, like Vince Neil has a kid that I knew as a Motley Crue fan. He had a daughter that died of like cancer when she was real little. It's very sad. But that was it. That was the one sad thing. It's literally just like 90 minutes.
Well, it's sad all the drugs that they were doing and all the lives that they wrecked. That's kind of sad. Because wasn't he the one that got in the car accident?
He killed Razzle from Hanoi Rocks.
Right.
Yes. That's okay. So really you had two things. It's like 90 minutes of just a fire hose of debauchery, and it looks amazing. And then real fast, Razzle dies, and his kid's like, I got tummy ache. And then that's it. Then we're back to life being awesome. Like, I don't know. It was a greatly entertaining film. Again, the price was right, and there were zero expectations. Like, that's how I want to walk into every biopic ever. If you just gave me Bohemian Rhapsody, and you're like, here's this piece of crap where they're going to play Queen music, and you get to be like, oh, yeah, Bicycle is a great song. Yeah,
I remember that. That's good.
Yeah, I'd be fine with watching that in my bed 11 p.m. on, like, a Saturday night. You know, like, just that's what I'm doing.
Right.
But, like, you know, we have to see this thing winning Oscars. It's just
Oscars
the most by-the-numbers crap. Ray, I lost my mind with Ray being successful.
Didn't see it.
It was just the...
She's trying to help you out by not buying a ticket.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. You know who else didn't see it? Ray. Blind joke, but he's also dead.
Oh.
It just... The best thing you'll ever see related to biopics is Walk Hard. The Dewey Cox, the thing that John C. Reilly did as a takedown of a biopic,
right.
It's both somehow better than every biopic because it has, like, humor to it.
Right, right.
And it explores all the light sides of, like, this is a man, I don't care what evil and crap happened in the average musician's life, I feel most of these biopics lose this, like, sight of the fact these are people that chase their dreams, and unlike 99% of people out there that, A, don't chase their dreams, and then that 1%, 99 of which chase their dreams and end up sleeping on couches and killing themselves, they made it. It was pretty goddamn fun while they made it.
Sure.
Like, yeah, eventually Freddie dies of AIDS, and eventually you release your bad eponymous Motley Crue album. But the Motley Crue film was at least, while this is going down, we were just playing with tits, like, 24-7. We were just crushing ass, 24. Like, it's great. Like, your problems are, oh, my specific mic didn't arrive on time. I'll have to use the stage mic to sing to my screaming 35,000 fans. Right. You know, like, your problems, cool. We all have problems. Your problems aren't like, oh, I don't know, the lion dragged a gazelle carcass into our water, and now the village will die because it's filled with bacteria. Like, you had fun problems. Can I do all this coke? I did. You know, like, I don't know. That movie didn't lose sight of the fun of being a rock star, which is what we all want to sign up for, seeing these.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to sign up for Bohemian Rhapsody and explore how did it suck being in Queen. Because, like, I want being in Queen to be really goddamn awesome.
Well, it is, and having never been in a rock band, mm-hmm. it is amazing to see, like, from the outside, you look at it and go, why would you ever, no matter what disagreement you have, why would you ever make it to the point that you want this thing to stop? That you want I mean, how could it get so bad that you're like, yeah, you know what? We don't need to make any more hits. We don't need to make another $1 million. We don't need to go on another record-breaking tour.
Take a year
tour.
Off, yeah.
It's amazing to me how many... I mean, it happens to almost every big-time rock band. There's very few that you go, wow, they made it all the way through. Like, as much as I don't like them, I don't recall U2 ever having a major, major blowout with them.
Never.
With the Edge.
They never stuck it to Larry Mullins Jr.
Bono and I can't stand you two. But they're one of the few. I mean, the Eagles broke up and got back together, what, 18 different times, it seems like.
I barely know the Eagles, but I do know.
You don't know the Eagles?
Oh, Eagles. I thought you said the Eels.
No, the Eagles. Eagles. Oh, sorry, I did not enunciate properly.
The
I apologize.
Eagles, yes.
The Eagles.
We're in Philadelphia
the
doing
Eagles,
Philly radio.
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
They broke up multiple times. You know, Fleetwood Mac just kicked the guy out again.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Right before they went on concert. I mean, they haven't been relevant forever.
But, like,
and they're just like, yeah, by the way, get out.
They're, I believe, like, their biggest singer-songwriter, too. And they're like, get the hell out.
He was the founder. Didn't he start the band?
He has to have.
So I don't know how you can kick him out.
They did it. And they found a way.
He should just be like, hey, fuck you. I started this. Yeah. You can't do this without me. Not going to happen.
And yet. They are touring right now without him.
I'm
trying to think of other times where, God, some, like, really embarrassing breakups. I can't come up with anything off the top of my head, you know.
Of rock bands?
Yeah, just, like, really sad stuff. I mean, John Mulaney does a great bit about the Beatles just going away for a year. and then how weird it was all four came back with their mustaches.
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, I mean,
just Mulaney.
Well, it's the same thing with the Beatles.
Oh, you know what's weird? Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
What is the deal with Pink Floyd, and it's like the entire band minus Dave Gilmour,
right,
and
then again,
Dave Gilmour just tours doing Floyd crap, yeah, and so there's like two Floyds pretty much.
You guys go ahead and do it. I'm going to do it as well, and you know what? Dummies will pay us money.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Stupid people will be like, well, I just saw the other Pink Floyd, but now this guy's got Pink Floyd too. I guess I got to go back, take my money.
I do. That is funny. I'm trying to think of like, that happens with a lot of crap rock acts though, where like maybe the singer's booted. And then it'll be like such and such is something experience. Yeah. So
Journey.
It'll be like, the Steve Perry Journey experience is touring now.
Right.
And then you have Journey. And I'm sorry, call me like just not musically inclined and a rube at the end of the day. All I really give a damn about is that singer. Like Van Halen would.
Another perfect example. See, they fought constantly.
They toured forever without DLR. I saw Diamond Dave one time, and like, I don't know what kid, no name piece of crap he had doing the opening chords, like, dun, 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 you know, the beginning of Ain't Talking About Love. I'm like, I'm seeing Van Halen right now.
Right, right.
Like, it's Diamond Dave doing his mic tricks, doing his splits, drinking his fake Jim Beam.
Yep.
And I'm like, cool, this is so much like, I could either have Gary Cherone singing. right now to me.
Right.
Or I can have Diamond Dave doing Hot for Teacher, like the fun Van Halen.
Right, right.
And Dave will win 10 out of 10
again,
for me.
All of them, it's very rare. Or you'll have the acts, and this isn't the main ones, but you'll have like the acts like the Drifters.
Okay.
Way back. 60s kind of R&B beach type music.
You saw them live when you were 13.
I did not. I've never seen the Drifters live. I do have an album or two, but like, I don't know if any of the original Drifters are even alive anymore.
No,
but they still have people that are out there touring as the Drifters because they just replace one of the guys. I mean, all of those types of bands.
Yeah,
they do it all the time.
No.
They just replace a guy. Be like, you're a Drifter. You're very young. Yeah, I'm fourth generation.
Yeah.
Oh.
For a time, my uncle, who's sadly on his way out health-wise, but he was a guitar, Dimitri Kalas. He was a replacement in the Four Seasons, like back
there
when that didn't happen.
Right, right.
But, like 5 years ago, he was one of Bill Haley's Comets.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Like, he just walked in, yeah. And it's like, are you a Comet? And like you said, it's just like a bunch of much younger dudes.
Yeah.
Like you do the mental math, and you're like, this does not pass
this
the smell
like,
test.
Wait, but this guy, he wasn't alive. Wait, how are you?
No, it's funny as hell. Like,
yeah, but all of them
Street
do it.
Band, Clarence Clemons croaked.
No.
Just shoved his nephew in there. They got a new black dude,
right.
And it's just of the
Give me another black guy that plays a saxophone.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's just of the Clemens bloodline.
Right.
And it's so fun. Like, I mean, at least Bruce is like so cognizant and a self-aware dude. So he's like, yeah, at some point we'll just all have our kids playing for us or whatever.
But, like, I'll be dead, but we'll still be playing.
Yeah. Like, you'll just see whatever, you know, Springsteen / Ski Alpha, whatever spawn they have playing
but
live.
But so many of those, and it's a lot of the Motown groups, not even necessarily like the big ones. I'm not talking like the Four Tops or people like that, but like the ones that had like two or three hits and they just want to keep doing the summer tours, you know, where
they want to play that Fairfax Fair.
Right. There's like eight different groups that get together and play. Well, none of them are the originals. It's really just glorified American Idol or karaoke, professional karaoke, because you're not really the Drifters. You're just some guys who knew some guys who know how to sing the Drifter songs. That's all you are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I think there's...
Because they're not recording new stuff.
I'm trying to think of, like, actual bands I can name that even in kind of their original time period, like, we're going to get very heavy metal here, but Napalm Death, Sepultura, these are touring acts that literally have no original members. And, like...
Right.
They're not that old, so the original members are doing other bands. Like, Sepultura was founded by a pair of brothers, the Cavaleras, who somehow over time were both booted from their own band and are now playing, like, as, I think, Cavalera Conspiracy.
Well, it's like, is Blind Melon still around? Because I know the lead singer's not.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
But are they still around? I mean, that's what I mean. It's like they just, and it's fine, I guess, but you're not really the band.
Well,
so
was
all
it
these...
Sublime with Rome, I think they called it? They at least named like who their fake Brad Noel not singer
yeah,
was. Yeah,
but it's very rare for a band to make it through any type of success and not just implode, and I don't get it. I mean, not having been through it, I will never understand it, but I'm like,
I
just ride that gravy train for as long as you can. Can't you just go home and be like, I hate that dude.
Till those biscuit wheels crumble.
But damn, look at the checks that are coming in the mail.
I personally think it's people who hit it young and have no frame of reference.
Could be.
Of like what it is to not be. Like, go back to Motley Crue. Let's flog this pony till its asses roll.
Beat the horse.
You're talking guys that, like, I think they founded Crue. The three out of the four were 18, 19.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Like, yeah, one guitarist was 30. But, yeah, these are – can you imagine if you had tasted success since you're 18? You would just be like, oh, this is life.
Oh, no matter what I do, I don't need these
literally
guys no matter
nothing,
what I do.
Yeah, everything will turn to gold. Like, you and I have had our teeth kicked in a little bit by life. Like, if we somehow took off, like – I could walk in one day and you'd be plowing my mom like Thomas Hayden Church
come on, Hal.
Did Sandra O in Sideways. And I'd be like, carry on, kids. You know, like, let's throw this on YouTube, too. Like, I would do whatever it took after 20 years of not tasting success in any field I cared about to actually taste it. Yeah, I'd sell my soul and then some. You know, like, I'd sign up other kids' souls, too.
And it's not just male rock acts. The Go-Go's, one of the most successful women's groups of all time, blew up.
Belinda Carlisle.
Absolutely.
Hell of a Playboy spread.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But they couldn't make it through.
No.
They didn't make it through. They completely. And then when they got back together, and I know this because I've seen them on tour.
You were 13.
Was not. I was 17 when I saw Belinda Carlisle on her Heaven is a Place on Earth tour at Meriwether Post.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the regular finale or was that like an encore finale, Heaven is a Place on Earth?
Don't remember.
Okay.
I know it was at Meriwether Post and we were like sixth or seventh row. My buddy and I went because his dad had some friend that had like the season tickets.
It was Belinda's Coke dealer. Yeah.
Well, no, it had like the season tickets to Meriwether Post where you buy like... And of course, he's going to see all the rock acts. Where he's like, if your son would like to have these Belinda Carlisle tickets, here, take them.
Yeah,
I'm not going. So my buddy was 14, 15 at the time. He's like, I can't drive. Do you want? I'm like, heck yeah.
55.
I was like, let's go. So we went over, and of course, it's in Maryland. You want to miss traffic. So we got there early, and the mall, of course, is right across from Meriwether Post. There used to be. It may not be there anymore.
See, I only went there under cover of dark, so I really couldn't tell you.
There's a mall. It's been so long I remember the name of the mall, Arundel Mills. I don't think that's it, but I'm just going to throw that out there. Whatever. So we park, and as we're driving to go to the parking garage, we literally stop because there are like people walking out of the mall towards the parking garage.
Okay.
Totally Belinda Carlisle. No question about it. So we stop. She's walking the crosswalk, and we're just like jokingly as we're driving up there, we'd be like, yeah, it'd be cool if we get her early. Maybe we'll see him out and about. And like 30 seconds later, there she goes, and we both just went, looked at each other, and was like, holy shit. So my buddy rolls down the window, and he's like, Belinda! And that's all he got out. And she turned around and waved and kept walking. I was like, well, that's classic. Way to go. You really got her on that one.
She flicked the beat of that afterwards.
She's like, whatever. But it was kind of fun. I was like, whoa.
How did she look in person?
Oh, stunning.
Yeah.
And again, this is...
not a face I can pull off the top of my head for whatever reason. Like, I didn't see her enough as a kid. Like,
yeah,
that was 1 or 2 years before me.
This was...
I know she's a piece.
Well, she had cleaned herself up, too, because you remember, she was a little bit of a porker in the Go-Go's days. She was.
Damn, do I miss doing this kind of radio.
Go back and look her up. Look up Belinda Carlisle from like the early Go-Go's days. You look at some of the videos, she's not thin.
Oh, God. So she pulled off the trick where she loses the weight, but the tits?
She lost the weight. She looked good during those solo albums in the late 80s. She looked phenomenal. But early 80s Go-Go's, she was not thin.
You would have given it to, what was her name, Whedon? No, what was
Jane Wyden?
Jane Wyden, there you
Charlotte
go.
Charlotte Caffey. Or Coffey was the other one.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Can you see it?
Dude, I went like one click too far. It's her now.
Oh, yeah, oh. It's not good.
Oh,
but she's
God.
So, she's 60.
I'd rather,
she's at least 60, if not older now.
I'd rather stick it in, was the Kardashian's dad that transitioned? What's his name?
Bruce Jenner?
Yeah, well, now. I'd stick it in Bruce Caitlin? Jenner before
and
looking at these things.
Let me see, I don't see what picture
God.
It is. She's living in France, or she was living in France, and she was doing some French albums.
Here,
I follow Belinda's career.
I guarantee you the monitor will die, but
all right,
doing
let me,
this.
Hold on.
Okay, we did it. We did it.
So, I mean, that's not a great picture of her, but again, she's probably 60-ish. Go back and
there you go. That's the picture I saw. It's just like the old next.
Yeah,
to the,
well, of course. But if you do that to any of us, and it's going to be that bad. But she was no question stunning. Even at 17, knowing that she was probably
especially at 17,
she's probably 13, 14 years older than me.
Okay.
So she was probably early 30s at that point.
Yeah.
Even then, because most of the time, if you're 17,
mm-hmm.
You're like 30. Blah.
Oh, really? I was the opposite of that, man.
No. I've always liked older women. My girlfriend now is 3 years older than me. But
you are the outfield lyric.
That's right. But that much of an age gap? No, come on. When you were 16, 17, you'd be like 23, 24. Yeah.
Well,
32, 33, you're not going to be.
Well, no, I was actually having this conversation with someone a couple days ago. When you're young, you just have a comprehension of older. So, like, I'm 12. Like, literally no one I wanted to stick it in was of my age.
When I was 12, I wasn't thinking about that anyway.
Oh,
but,
no, I was you know, I'm Greek. I had sideburns at, like,
but
five.
Point,
you know, like,
but point being, when you're 17, you're looking at the girls in your high school and maybe the college girls or whatever. You're not looking at 31, 32-year-old
well, in terms of like
secretaries or anything like, I mean,
in terms
know.
Of like, I'm realistically going to bang or I lust after?
Well, lust after. Would you lust after a 32-year-old rock star when you were 17?
God, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like,
okay.
I have a weird thing to this day, probably some self-limiting belief, but when I was like 17, I wasn't even that into like other, you know. Like, I'd ogle some girls in my class because, what, they start to get jugs like 15-ish or something? I don't know. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, I remember that was a big day for me when I was like, wait a minute. I'm not thinking about just wanting to bang Cindy Crawford when I tug on my little pud. Like, I'm thinking about girls in class. This is awesome. And then it became like a whole new vista of, like, things I could jack it to. But for a very long time, it was you had.
Meg Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The
you got mail days.
Yeah.
But it was just a thought of, like, all women that are, like, you know, something I want are just older. Like, you could have crushes on girls your age.
Right.
But in terms of, like, a sex object, my brain wasn't able to distinguish between hot 45-year-old, hot 35-year-old, hot 25-year-old.
Okay.
They just all went into this bin of, like, older than you and you're not going to bang it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
It was a weird thing for me. And then years later, like, I look back now very full of regret. Like, when I was 17 and 16, like, there were girls in my high school all the time that, like, were flirty, and for whatever reason I was very into, like, just the band of my year I can date. Like, I remember being 18 and, like, a smoke show, like, couple smoke show 17-year-olds were down for my dick, and, like, I was just like, that's disgusting. Whereas now, like, I mean, like, I could walk out of here, and if you showed me, like, a valid, like, you turn 18 today, I'm like, all right, we're porking on the moon bounce, lady. And similarly, I remember I was a freshman, and a sophomore girl was like, hey, I just shaved my legs today. Like, just came on to me, like, all year long. But I remember one time, she's like, feel my legs, they're so smooth. And she was really hot. But I was like, she's a year older than me. She isn't going to go for my D. Like, I lived in a land of self-limiting beliefs, man. Just, like, loving to exclude myself from anything I could have had. It was real sad and effed up in retrospect.
I give you credit because, again, I wouldn't have at 17.
That
again, she was stunning.
Funny
but,
to me that you
but
thought
I wouldn't
that
have,
way.
But I wouldn't have been like, yeah,
So, like, if you're 17, you had to, like, ogle, like, Britney Spears, who was also 17.
She was probably three.
Well, she was a fetus.
Then,
yeah, I get
it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. It was. It just wasn't, like, I guess you looked at it, and it wasn't the thought of, oh, yeah, she would hang out with us. You know, it was that kind of thing. Like, okay, yeah, she was stunning looking, but it wasn't like, hey, I bet we go hang out with her.
That's funny. That
I mean, it would never have crossed my mind that way.
That is way healthier, like what you're saying, because that attracted you, like someone who could actually be in your real life. Like, I lived such a free of girls existence for the most part in high school that I was like, I'm not getting any of this. So, like, we can let the imagination go wild.
Okay.
And, like, yeah, Stephanie Seymour walks in on you and blows you one day. Like, it's great.
Yeah, no,
she dumps Axel for you.
Yeah, no, I never had that kind of.
Man.
That kind of thought. But point being, they broke up.
Okay.
Even the Go-Go's, even the chicks couldn't keep it together to make the run, to make all this money. They had to blow it up.
You know who else?
It's incredible.
Do you remember when Kurt left Nirvana?
Yeah, with a shotgun in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did he leave or did somebody?
Yeah, when Courtney Love made him leave.
I mean, do you think it was her?
Because
I'm not, and again, was not a Nirvana fan. I believe I've told this story. I know I've told it on the air. I don't know if I've told it on your podcast, but I've told it on the air of the day that Kurt Cobain killed himself. I was still in college.
Okay.
And of course it's the grunge era. So you were probably what, 8th grade, 7th grade, somewhere in there?
100%. I was 8th grade, and it was announced to me by one Buzz Burbank.
Oh,
on
there
the
you
Don
go.
And Mike show.
Okay.
Circles and circles, baby.
There you go. That's good. Yeah. So I mean I was probably my last year of college or thereabouts. And he died, and I wasn't a Nirvana fan. I wasn't into Nirvana. I mean, I wasn't a grunge guy. I didn't like Soundgarden, Allison. I just wasn't, again, top 40 nerd. That's what I was.
By that time, I had gone way into the heavy stuff, so they weren't heavy enough for me at all.
I did not care about Nirvana one bit at all. And I just remember realizing, again, the magnitude of what had happened. So working at the college radio station, we're like, okay, well, we need to do something. We need to get put Nirvana in heavy rotation and all that kind of stuff. And we went in there, and the DJ guy that was on the air, and I knew him pretty well because he'd worked there for a couple of years, is crying. and that's when I was like, what is wrong with me? I've never had that attachment to any group. It'll be sad. Like, I'm a big Billy Joel fan. When Billy Joel dies, it'll be sad. When Frank Sinatra, who I shook hands with, died, it was sad. I didn't cry. I didn't lose it. You know why? I don't know them.
Yeah.
You didn't know him. Quit crying. I mean, I walked in.
The extent of your attachment to them hasn't
changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what's wrong with you? And he was like, I mean, literally, just, you guys heard what happened, right? And I'm like, you mean about Nirvana and Kurt Cobain? And he's like, yeah.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, hey, Sean. I do remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
Do you
called him Sean the Sissy after.
I was like, do you need to take the rest of the shift off? Because, I mean, we can either just hit, like, play on the CD player, the random disc, and play the rest of your shift. Or I'll get somebody in here, whatever. I mean, no. I think Kurt would want me to stay.
Oh, God,
I can't say it without laughing.
Kurt would want me to stay on the air. Kurt would want you to test the shotgun, buddy.
I was like, okay, man, just try not to cry when you're doing your breaks.
Oh, my God.
And I went in the other room, and I'm like, what is going on? I don't understand this.
What is wrong
with people? I mean, and there were people that brought, like, flowers by the station and wrote notes. Well, I mean, not to him, not to Sean, but we're going to miss you, Kurt.
But it's some brotherhood of music, just a radio station.
Yeah, exactly.
Those vibes will go up the pike.
We were college stations, so we played all their stuff probably before regular radio did. But I was just like,
oh, God.
Hey, man, he didn't work here. Nobody has any connection. We're not. Yeah. We know what's going to happen with these flowers. You're going to walk away. No, I'm going to throw them out.
That's how the human brain works. Stupidity. Like, this is my connection. This is the music source here. You might as well put a daffodil on your goddamn copy of In Utero. That's how much it mattered.
Athletes, actors, musicians. Again, I admire a lot of people's work, and a lot of people that I grew up with, they're almost dead now because, again, Hall & Oates are in their 70s.
Good
They ain't hanging around too much longer.
Wow.
Jimmy Buffett is 70. He's 70 plus, actually. He ain't going to be around too much longer. You know, Huey Lewis he can't even sing anymore because he's got some inner ear problem that he can't hear music.
Oh, that's so messed up.
Oh, it's terrible. All these people, I'm like, wow. I am getting old because all the people that I grew up listening to are almost dead. Or are dead. And it's just like, when they die, I'll be like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll throw in an album and you know, reminisce and remember where I was when I did.
And they'll be 25 forever in your ears.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be like, okay. On with my life. Because you know what? I still got to pay my bills. I still have my responsibilities. I'll be sad. I'm not crying over it. No, there is not an actor or musician or an athlete that if they died, I would break down and start crying. Not a one.
Even like a beloved Boston sport. Okay, no. Larry Bird dies.
No, I wasn't a Celtics fan.
I thought you were a Boston
fan. I'm a Boston fan, was not a Celtics fan.
Why?
Long story.
How did that happen?
Okay, here's what happened.
So wait, they're getting all those championships while you're a kid and yet you're not a Celtics fan?
Here's what happened. I was never an NBA fan.
Okay.
Because my dad is from Pittsburgh. They had no NBA. He wasn't a big basketball fan. My mom is from Maine, and that's where I get the Boston stuff from because I would go up there during the summers, but it was all Red Sox. It was baseball.
Wait, you're born and raised
here.
Oh,
I'm a D.C. kid.
Okay.
I'm in Northern Virginia. But my mom is from Maine. Okay. So I would spend summers when I was a little kid in Maine. I mean, we'd be up there for 6 weeks, but they'd just drop us off, and we would just be in Maine. And when you were there, it's nothing but Red Sox. Again, and D.C. didn't have a baseball team. I wasn't going to root for Baltimore. They're up the road. Nobody in my house cared about Baltimore at all. My dad was a Pittsburgh fan. He was a Pirates fan.
Okay.
He didn't care. So I got the Red Sox stuff was just fed to you because if you're there,
and then
that's all anybody's going to talk about. So my mom, oddly enough, was a big college basketball fan. So I remember watching college basketball when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. I mean, just constantly watching. So I became a North Carolina Tar Heels fan.
Okay.
Because, again, my mom didn't like Lefty Driesell in Maryland. She wasn't a fan of theirs. She would root for Virginia because we lived in Virginia, but she didn't root for Maryland. And North Carolina, of course, was their big rival. So I became a huge North Carolina fan. I mean, going back to the late 70s. I mean, I had the jerseys and the t-shirts and the little wristbands when I played in my little league. I had the North Carolina blue wristbands. Even if my team's colors were green, I didn't care if it matched. I'm wearing my Carolina wristbands or whatever. So my favorite college player, when I started to realize, oh, they have this other... I mean, I knew about the NBA. I remember the Bullets. I'm old enough to remember the Bullets winning the championship.
Because I'm picturing you with the Wes Unseld fro.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay, cool, because everybody around me liked it. But again, in my house, my mom and dad didn't care. Didn't matter to them. So James Worthy was my favorite North Carolina basketball player. I would have been 11 years old when he went into the draft. So I'm 11, and I'm like, wait a minute. And that's when I started figuring out, oh, they're only in college for so long, and then they leave.
They don't go across the rainbow bridge.
Well, right. I mean, you don't think about it.
It's funny because as a kid, I just that's why to this day I'm not big on any college sport. Like, we just didn't do college sports in my house, I didn't have this issue.
Right.
I was like Mark Rippon, especially Joe Montana. I was like, he'll just be the quarterback for 30 years.
Right.
Like,
and that's what. Yeah. So with Kyle, you just kind of figure out, oh. So they leave and they go, that's how they go to the NBA. You start figuring it out and putting it together. So he was my favorite North Carolina player. So I decided wherever James Worthy goes, that's my NBA team. He ended up as the Lakers. So that's how I ended up a Lakers fan.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of, fortunately for me, it worked out. If you go to the Clippers, you're going somewhere else, I'd be a miserable NBA fan.
Wound up on the fictitious team that Will Ferrell played for in semi-pro.
That's right. The Tropics or whatever it was. Miami Tropics.
The Flint, right?
The Flint Tropics. That's right. Yeah. So I ended up at odds with a lot of people up in Maine and stuff because I'm rooting for the Lakers who had the big rivalry with the Celtics. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But, yes, I ended up being a Lakers fan. And now, as I've gotten older, I care. I mean, I haven't been a hardcore NBA fan for probably by the time I got out of college, I didn't care anymore.
It didn't matter. When I was a kid, I knew that summer was coming because that was like Jordan just stomping a mud hole in everyone's ass. I spent the last 3 weeks of every school year just watching Jordan F his way through the East.
And I'm kind of one of those fans now that people don't like because I don't care. I'm honestly the same with the NFL football. I don't have a team that I root for because after working up in Baltimore and seeing a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes and how, in a lot of cases, guys don't give a rip about the fans, it kind of spoils you on it. So I root for people on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
And players that I like, which are becoming few and far between because I don't know. I've been away from it now long enough. I don't really have any relationship or know guys anymore. So I just watch for whatever team I'm gambling on. Or on my fantasy team. Other than that, I don't care. Same way with the NBA. I'll watch certain players because I like watching them, but I don't care who wins the title. Doesn't matter to me.
See, I came up when didn't suck.
I do enjoy watching the Wizards be miserable.
I couldn't pay me to watch them.
I worked for that franchise for 3 years. A lot of people that I worked with are gone. I don't forget, though. So I will not. I will never root for them. I enjoy them sucking.
I'll say this. I think this is going to be the first year where I actively watch another team over the Skins.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm going to do Browns this year.
They'll be fun,
but
it'll be exciting.
Yeah, my attachment to the Skins occasionally, like one of them will be locked out. Like I've had a couple Redskins that I've served as a locksmith.
Sure.
And so
that's cool.
I'm like, oh, this is weird, but all right, I know you. Like, who was it who was on the team for several years, undersized dude, like a wideout three, Josh something or other, eventually bounced to...
Josh Doxson?
Not Doxson. I'm trying to remember. I don't want to say Josh Gordon because that's the Browns dude. Josh something or other, but he was from Tech, I think, originally. And, yeah, eventually went...
He's a receiver?
Yeah, little dude. I was at his house all the time. That dude was horrible with his keys.
You should just be like, here, man, I made an extra copy from the last time, so no charge, just here's the key.
And it was weird. He addressed me as sir.
Just being polite.
Like, sir, I'm locked out again. I was like, I know who you are, dude. Like, I've been to your house 5 effing times at this point.
Does he just forget his key? I mean, how do you get locked out?
I don't
know.
I was there all the time. He lived right down the street from RG3. He had like a pretty big house. And then like a linebacker that they drafted. I'll narrow it down. A defensive player there's out of Alabama. A dude they drafted like in the 6th round at linebacker this year.
No idea.
Like his dad called and like just had the really like proper sounding Southern dude voice. And he's like, my child plays for the Redskins. And
which they should never tell you because all of a sudden I'm adding 15%.
I didn't, like, he was a 6th rounder, though, so, like, thankfully he just had a townhouse, but, like, as I'm driving in, he was locked out maybe a month ago, I forget the dude's name, but as I'm driving into the complex, I just see, like,
this big black guy hanging out.
A towering dude riding a little scooter around the cul-de-sac. I'm like,
just being bored.
I think that's my customer. Yeah. He was a nice guy. I busted in. He just literally had like a PS4 and some Alabama crap on the walls and a huge TV. I'm like, this is what I would do if I had a couple hundred.
Yeah, there you go. So, but yeah, I can see the dad being like, my son, who is a complete moron, by the way, has locked himself out of his house.
That was funny, man. That was a great moment to me. Like, I wonder if that's my dude. Like you said, guy's like 6'6".
How do you? I guess if you have just the regular lock, not the bolt, not the deadbolt, but the lock below. If you accidentally screw that up and shut the door behind, you could lock your keys.
You want to get locksmith nerdy about it? I'll get into it big time.
I mean,
so,
I can't lock myself out of my house.
Well,
through
you
my
have
front
the digital
door
keypad, so you
well,
can
we,
type
we,
it.
We have well, yes, on our garage door. I'm talking about the front door is just deadbolt. That's it. So I can't
lock... Oh, with a handle set.
Yeah. I
this
can't
was
lock,
his garage.
I can't lock myself out.
He was...
Unless I go out the back door, which has a deadbolt and then whatever the handle
so
lock is.
Your main two manufacturers are Kwikset and Schlage. Kwikset, if you lock it, it's locked on both sides. Like, if it's in a lock position, I cannot turn the inner knob. What gets a lot of people is Schlage, always open from the backside, whether it's a locked or unlocked position. So, especially if they moved from a house with Kwikset, they're like, yeah, it was open from the inside, and then they walk out and they test the knob. They're like, what the F?
Oh, yeah. Darn it. That's why you get only deadbolt.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to do it, honestly. Just a little passage knob to keep the door shut and then deadbolt it.
Yep, because then you know that you can't lock yourself out.
Smart way to do it.
That's why I've never locked. When I was younger, I had a bunch of friends that would lock their keys in their car all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened to me because I drove an old car that you had to literally put the key in and turn it to lock the car doors.
I thought you were going to say you put deadbolts in the windows.
No, that would be cool, though.
Yeah, it would.
But it didn't make much sense because the windows had no pillar between the front window. Microphone. You know how there's usually a pillar now between, like, the window in the front of the car and the window in the back of the car?
Yes.
Even if it's just a two-door car, there's still a pillar that runs up the side.
Some kind of trim or something.
Well, not even, trim, but just a solid pillar.
Yeah.
Well, this didn't have that. You just had, like, the rubber, like, weather stripping. You had the window and then the rubber weather stripping and then the window in the back. So you could literally just take, like, a clothes hanger, stick it in between the rubber weather stripping, turn it sideways, and then grab the lock and pull it up.
I hate that style of car when I'm, like, opening cars.
It's like the 60s car. You could do it I can do it in 30 seconds. I can break into any of them.
Well, there's some, like, so the deal is typically, like you were saying, you have a full door. It has an entire frame. Mm-hmm. Window exists within the frame. Like, especially, I think Mustangs will do this, but there's a lot of, like, quote-unquote higher-end cars where there is no frame around the top and the rear portion of the window. It's just window. And so I'm, like, shoving an air bladder into the door to
expand. In an old Mustang or a new one?
New ones.
Oh, okay. So an old Mustang, you wouldn't have to do that. I was like, what are you
doing? And I'm just like, oh, God, don't shatter, you piece of crap. And then I'm banging, like, a metal arm against it to pick the lock. And I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. Because a door frame, who gives a damn? I'll put all the pressure in the world on a door frame.
Right.
But, like, raw glass, I'm like, ugh, this could snap by no problem.
That's why you don't like your keys in your car. Then you don't have the problem anymore.
All right, good.
Then you don't have the problem.
Well, you want to call it?
Did we get to everything? You had more stuff.
We did 2 hours flat, I think.
Jesus, is it that long?
Well, we can do another 10 minutes.
If we need to, that's a long, people are not going to make it to the end of this.
They're going to make it to the end of this.
We should give away some sort of prize if somebody did.
If you're listening to these words.
They should be a guest on your next episode.
The password, you can tweet me at Papa's Basement, at Bill Roland. There's an H in Roland.
That's right, R-O-H-L-A-N-D.
You can email inpapasbasement@gmail.com. You can also facebook.com/papasbasement. You can hit us up with the password, which is Sasquatch. I like Sasquatch as a password.
I like it.
Just say Sasquatch. We'll know you made it to the end, and we'll do something nice for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is our little
You'll come up with something because it's your show.
Okay. Well, we'll do that then. Let me see. It's been so long since I got out of here that I don't even... I know that I have two different, like, outro clips I play. I've found the... okay, I got the endings. Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, Bill, thanks, man.
I didn't realize it was this long. I apologize.
No, don't. This sounds bad, but, like, I actually had done an episode a couple of days ago
that
was supposed to get released.
That's right, and you trashed it.
It just didn't work, and I feel bad because it was a friend of mine, Joe Gagliardi, is his first episode with me.
What, does Joe suck at what he does?
He was fine at it. The energy
fine
just left.
Fine's not good.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not saying that on his first pod ever, he was lightning in a bottle. And sorry, Joe. Sasquatch password works for you, too. And then a buddy, Brian Dust, who's maybe done like 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, but it just wasn't clicking. And like 20 minutes in, I just abandoned it. Like mentally, I was just like, I don't care. And they kind of just started talking. I was like, this is happening. I'm just a cuckold on my own podcast. They're talking back and forth.
So you had two different guys? There were three of you?
It was three of us, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just...
Maybe you can't do threesomes. Maybe that's what the problem is.
I've done them fine. I've done 4 ways before. But for some reason, that one just wasn't clicking. And then I gave it to a buddy, Sarah, who listens to the show. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm never going to listen to this. I don't listen to my good. I don't listen to my bad. But you tell me, is this good or bad? And she was like, I don't know if it's bad, but it's goddamn weird. And it's low energy as all hell.
Oh, no. I can't imagine what she says about the ones that we do then.
Oh, she loves you. Like, specifically, she's like, you need to have Bill on more. Oh. Like, no BS. No,
she may change her mind after listening to all of our
she'll
bad
enjoy
80s
this.
And 90s of rock trivia that we did.
No, but I buried that episode like that Jerry Lewis movie where he played the clown in the concentration camp. Yeah.
Was it the day the
clown cried? Yes. It's like, yeah, the day the clown cried. And there's just no footage of it to this day. Or like,
no, there is. Somebody's got it locked up somewhere, I thought.
Oh, but like, in terms of what's leaked, isn't it like one shot or something?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure if you go on YouTube, there's probably like a 2 or 3 minute thing of it.
If you want some funny stories, Google like people who have seen clips of the day the clown cried. I think not Hank Azaria. Oh God. One of the dudes from Spinal Tap, Harry Shearer.
Yep.
I believe Harry Shearer talks about having seen chunks of it. And he's like,
just awful.
He's like, as wildly inappropriate as you think it is, it's just that much worse. Like, it's Jerry Lewis doing Jerry Lewis crap while kids are being marched to the chambers. Yeah. Like, it sounds so bad, but so good. Like, oh my God, I want that. Oh, I forgot. The outro music actually gets played as a bed underneath all this.
Nice.
So there, we did our
outro. Is this more of your brother?
No, this is you beat Street Fighter 2.
Oh.
And you're watching the fighters just fight each other while the credits roll.
Nice. Song.
I always liked it. Yeah,
nice.
I used to beat that game like twice a day. That was my entertainment while you were actually having sex.
Good entertainment. Well, it depends on what year that was. But yeah, that's good entertainment.
Yeah, it was the best. All right, everyone. That was Papa's Basement. Real fast, look up Patreon Papa's Basement. I think it's just PATREON. Yeah, /
sure.
Papa's Basement. But just put that word in Papa's Basement in Google and give me your money. Like, if you're ever like, I've listened to this,
we just
what can
gave
I
them
do
two
John?
Hours of entertainment. Yeah. That's got to be worth $5.
You can give me $1 a month, and then you just forget about it. And then you're like, honey, why are we hemorrhaging cash? And eventually, you like turn on the car in the garage, and you kill your entire family and the pet. The pet didn't deserve that. And you kill everyone, and it was me being that financial drain, and you forgot about me.
I think $10 is nothing.
$10 a month, exactly.
Well, I don't know
about
a month.
Am I not
easy.
Netflix? Nah, let's just do 20 a month to be safe. I'm HBO Go level.
I mean, I think 25 for the whole year.
Thank you. 2 bones a month.
That's nothing.
You can do 2 shekels.
Somebody can do that. Just don't get a coffee at McDonald's for a day.
Yeah.
Give it to you.
Yeah. Give it to Papa and Roland.
Oh, no, you. You're the only one that's getting it done.
No.
In case the IRS is listening, I'm not getting any of this money.
Password Sasquatch.
There you go.
We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.